You're listening to the Girls on the Big Blue Couch Show with Mandy B. Anderson and Rachel Chemley. Today on episode number 7, we answer your most pressing questions about becoming a motivational speaker and life coach.
Welcome to our show. We are Rachel Chemley and Mandy B. Anderson. We're co-founders of Big Blue Couch Coaching. We are certified coaches, we're speakers, writers, and we're best friends. So Big Blue Couch is actually a life coaching company for all people who feel worthless, stressed, and unhappy. We really work to equip you with the skills to conquer obstacles, discover your self-worth, and really live a vibrant life. So the focus of life coaching is actually to help people reach personal goals and dreams. But we get asked all the time.
And it just floors us.
It does. It's really interesting. I want to do what you do, which you can fill the blank in, whether it's speaking or life coaching or helping others or writing. And they always ask, how did you get there? So today we're going to actually share some of the ways, our stories, our personal stories of how we became speakers and life coaches, and then give you some actual resources that you can look into for becoming a motivational speaker and a life coach.
And sometimes it's funny because we have to stop and think, how did we get here?
Right.
Sometimes we don't know. How did we get here? And, you know, my story, Rachel knows this, but my story, you know, I always grew up wanting to be the next Celine Dion.
Right.
I didn't have a backup plan.
No, you were going to be on a stage singing.
Yes, I wanted to be a singer. And I tried to do that at a very small level for a while and found out that I don't like giving concerts.
And that's a problem. Difficult to be a singer without.
It's hard to be a singer without liking concerts. And so I went to this singer and songwriter conference in Nashville back in 2001.
Right. Gosh, it feels like forever.
That's not true. I think it was 2003 actually, because we were married already.
Okay.
So and I had my CD with me, and I did some critiquing with a coach there, and she started asking me about my story, and I had this professional little folder.
Right.
I put together my media kit, and I had no clue what I was doing. I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to put this together. And I think my dad probably helped me because he's been a financial planner, and he's been in the corporate world for a long time.
Right.
So he knew how to put presentations together.
Right, he knew how to make you look good.
Yes, so he helped me with that. And so she's looking through this and listening to my story, and she goes, have you ever thought about being a speaker and singing as part of it instead of just being a singer? And at that point in time, speaking scared me silly.
Right.
I remember being in speech class and I was so nervous that I had my like note cards with me.
Right.
And I'm in front of like this, I think there were only 10 people in my speech class my senior year.
Right.
And I was practicing beforehand with my friend and I was so nervous. I was trying to say the word scenario. And to this day, I still have to think it through because...
You did have to think it through before
I
you even
did.
Said
I was
it now.
Like, how do you say this? Because I was so nervous, I said, Cena Rio. Yes, this really happened. And
that's
so
funny.
So speaking scared me. And
right.
So when this coach was telling me this, to me, I was like, no, this isn't going to happen. I'm not supposed to be a speaker.
Right.
And so I kind of locked up that dream of singing and put it away. And didn't deal with it. And I did a whole bunch of different odds and ends of things. I did.
Mm-hmm.
I was a church secretary for a while.
Right.
I worked in the wedding industry, selling dresses, planning weddings. I was a townhome rental person.
Right.
I don't know. What do you call that? A manager on site?
Right.
Like an on-site manager. And I did all these different jobs. And the whole time through that whole decade, in the back of my mind, it was like screeching, speaker, speaker, speaker. And I would get these opportunities every now and then to start speaking. And so several years ago, I decided to take somebody up on that. And I got paid to do it. It wasn't one of those free, like, we need a speaker. It was actually for a business event, and they would pay me for it. And I fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, I realized I need to get some skills in how to do it right.
Right.
And how to get rid of some of my anxiety over it, because I would still get so scared.
Right, because it's you know, one of the top 5 fears for most people.
Yeah, most people would rather die than speak in public.
Right.
And so I did that. I started getting skilled. And over time, I realized that speakers and life coaches are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't want to be the type of speaker who just gets up and tells you a story. I want you to learn from it and apply it.
Right.
And so through that process, I just kind of started... getting into the whole personal growth industry, mm-hmm. learning that and working with some great business coaches. And this desire to be a life coach just kind of started growing while my speaking skills were growing. And now I just marvel because it seems like the moment that you decide to be all in mm-hmm. with something that God gives you, doors just open.
Right, absolutely. And I know you were kind of kicking and screaming at yes. the thought of becoming a life coach. You didn't want to really put that as part of your title.
I did kick and scream with that too, didn't I?
A little bit. That's
a little
okay.
bit. I had a friend who was like, you're my coach. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't want to be. And part of that is probably because I know that when you're a coach, you also have to be on top of your own stuff.
Right.
So that's kind of my story,
right?
How that all happened. But Rachel, what's your story? Because you kind of have something similar too. I mean,
I do. Well, I spent a really long time looking for myself and what I was going to do with myself. But when I graduated from high school, if you look back at my yearbook and all the stuff you fill out when you're a senior, I was going to be an accountant. And for a really good reason, I was really always good in business class. I had taken college level classes in accounting mm-hmm. in high school, and I really liked it. I've always been a numbers girl. So when I first started in college, I was a business major and an accounting major. And then I think I switched my major in college probably 5 or 6 times. But even before I got to college, I had gone to cosmetology school and dropped uh-huh. out of that. And then I went to osteology school, and I actually finished that program. Mm-hmm. So I am still licensed in the state of North Dakota to practice osteology. I can't say it either.
I'm so glad that you can't either. You're the one who has it.
So
what is that?
An esthetician is actually somebody when you go into a spa and you're going to have a treatment done, whether it's a facial treatment or a body treatment. It's an esthetician who's generally performing that service. It can also be a makeup artist. Mm-hmm. So it kind of depends on where you live. Estheticians can do different things. But if you're here right. in the state of North Dakota, if you're going to be going into a spa somewhere, that will be an esthetician that you're going in to see. And so I worked in the beauty industry for a really mm-hmm. long time, and I still love that. So I've really been, trying to discover myself for a really long time. And I ended up in the psychology and counseling degree program at Liberty University. And that was about 4 years ago when I started that program. Mm-hmm. And it was about the time that life coaching was starting to get a little more regulated, a little more yeah. like, let's put some actual, education behind right. training life coaches. And so about that time, then they started offering these different classes mm-hmm. to start taking that were more towards counseling and coaching. And I really gravitated towards that. I had a really hard time with psychology. I couldn't really, when I would be doing case studies and things like that, I would have a really hard time not putting my whole self into these people's stories, and it would affect my life.
Yeah,
it was really,
that.
Really hard for me. I was also going through postpartum at the same yeah. time. And so it was just a really difficult time. And so when I started learning about coaching and counseling, it's like, this is totally for me, because first of all, we got to share our stories, which is really unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in counseling, you can't do that.
You can't really share your story. It's much more doctor-patient type,
right.
and coaching was much more like teamwork. And so I
yes.
really liked that concept. And so I became a coach first, and I was probably opposite of Mandy as far as kicking and screaming.
You've been kicking and screaming about speaking.
On speaking,
yes.
which is really interesting.
But you do a great job.
It's really interesting because I think the reason I'm okay with the idea of it is because I was raised on the stage from the time I was
yeah.
really little. Even before I could hold a microphone, my mom's family had a gospel band, mm-hmm. still has a gospel band. And so before we were even able to hold microphones, we were up on stage singing all the time. And so I really grew up comfortable in front of people.
Right.
And so I think that's why it's easier for me to wrap my head around the idea. For me now, it's more timing. Because
right.
my kids are little, so it's
yes.
hard to be like, oh, I'm going to be a speaker because I can't really travel
and,
all that much.
And but it is a little different when you are on a stage for singing versus
right.
for speaking.
Absolutely. I don't like to be on stage singing. I was a worship leader for a really long time, and I was never a one-woman band when it came to that because
yeah.
I don't like to sing on stage as much. Mm-hmm. I would rather be speaking, but there is still a lot of nervousness when it comes
right.
to speaking, but I think what sets you apart as a speaker is that you're still willing to go on stage, even
right.
when there is a little bit
yes.
of nervousness involved.
And I think the more that you do it, you just get to a point where you realize it's really not that big of a deal if you forget what you were going to say.
Right. Or you stumble over your words.
Right. People stumble over their words all the time.
Right. And we do it all the time on the show.
All the time. You should hear our blooper reels. Goodness. But even I think when I hear a speaker who is, you know, struggling over their words or they mess up, I appreciate it because they seem real.
Right. Absolutely.
Then they're not like on this pedestal and, oh, I could never be them.
Right.
And all that stuff. But I think it's kind of funny because, okay, I was listening to our toxic friendship episode from like our very first episode together.
Right.
On Club Radio.
I bet that was a little rough.
Part of a
actually.
Homework assignment for ourselves. It was rough. It was. I think that I sound like a hyper hyena. Really. I'm whoa, girl, slow down. So it's good to listen to your stuff because then
it is.
You can critique yourself.
Right, absolutely. And that's one of the things you learn as as an author, as a speaker, as a life coach. You really do have to be comfortable with listening to your own voice and critiquing yourself and your writing and all of that stuff because you have to kind of be your own worst critic sometimes just so you can get better.
Exactly. And that's a healthy thing. I mean, obviously, if you're listening to yourself all the time and you're like, I'm so awesome.
Right.
then there's a pride problem. But when you're listening to it to learn, and sometimes I like to listen to our stuff just so I make sure that I'm still living what we preach.
Right.
Because that's really important to me.
Yeah, that is one of the things you'll learn as a life coach. If you decide you're going to do that, you're going to have to practice what you preach, and you're going to have to implement your own homework for people and, you know, maybe eat a little crow once in a while and make sure you're actually doing the things that you're teaching, which I think is so great about coaching. It really lets you be vulnerable with
it
your
does.
People.
I think too, so too.
In a way that counseling and therapy doesn't. And so it kind of lets you be more human. And I think so too. Like that.
And I brought that up because there's a part in there where you said that as a kid, you were always attracting the fixer-uppers.
I was. It was weird. It was
which fits. I mean, into counseling and coaching, it really fits. But let's, you know, we touched quickly on the difference between counseling and coaching. Let's just take one more second or a few more moments just to really give people a clear understanding of what that difference is, because it is a big difference.
Right. There is a difference. So the difference between counseling and coaching, well, the easiest way to look at it is it's really two different environments
it
with
is.
Really similar goals. And both for counseling, coaching, therapy, whatever you want to call it, it's all about helping people make positive life changes and to deal with their past or deal with the things that are going on in their life that they can't seem to overcome on their own. But the one thing that coaching is different is that it takes a very future-focused, it's very empowering.
Yes.
It's also a lot more of self-discovery than maybe you'll get in a therapy office.
A lot more accountability,
A lot of accountability. Like I said before, it's not really so much patient, doctor. It's more teamwork. So you're coming alongside people, helping them make the decisions that they need to do. But it's really just empowering them to make the decisions that they need to, that they already know in their own head that they need to do. It's just giving them that boost.
Yes.
And some steps to be able to make those decisions.
And what do you think, and the only reason I ask you is because you are a counselor. You're a board certified counselor. And so what do you think you would tell somebody who's trying to decide between the two? Because there are things, I mean, counseling can be very draining.
Right.
And life coaching can be as well.
Right.
But it's a different kind of draining maybe. I don't know. Can you touch on that real quick?
Well, I think it really boils down to your goal. So if you are going to a therapist or if you're trying to decide whether you need a therapist or a counselor or a life coach, generally you're looking at what your goal is. So if your goal is maybe something that you need to deal with, you know, something that happened in your past, something with your family, something that you know is going to be very emotionally draining, but you know you need to work through it, that's probably something you need to look more for counseling or for therapy. If you're dealing with something that's a mental illness, anything that would be characterized as that would be anything from even depression to schizophrenia, those kinds of things would obviously be stuff that would be under the therapy category. So when you're looking into coaching, you're looking much more of a goal to be changing something into your future. So wanting to make positive life changes, wanting to maybe even do some self-discovery, whether it's, you know, your own personality and getting to know the things that really are important to you. That's much more of a coaching type of thing. So it's really what your focus is. If you're focusing more on things you need to fix in your past, you'll probably gravitate more for counseling. If you're looking for things like immediate, where it would be depression, anxiety, things where you can't function on a daily basis without it affecting your family or your job, that's something you need to look more into therapy. And then coaching would be much more future focused.
Yes. And sometimes topic specific.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so when people ask us how to become a motivational speaker, or if they're a life coach and they want to do speaking too, mm-hmm. I mean, one thing that I've learned is that you have to really be clear on what your own personal story is. Would you agree?
I would agree, especially for coaching. Now, if you're, looking into counseling or therapy, you don't need to really know that necessarily, because
right.
you don't get to share it.
But
with
for
that.
Coaching
but
and
for
speaking,
coaching, I think you absolutely need to. Yeah. And for speaking, of course you need to, because I don't know, unless you're going to only share topic specific things, which is really difficult to do. People really want to know who you are and what is important to mm-hmm. you. And, when you think back of speakers that you've heard that you remember, it's usually those stories that you remember.
People gravitate to vulnerability.
Right. Absolutely.
Vulnerability. There we go. And I think that's exactly it. When I have been really super touched by a speaker and I want to learn more about them and I want to just devour everything that they share, mm-hmm. it's because of the story.
Right.
And a lot of times it's a heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching story.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I can just think of a few years that...
Yes.
Over the last few years, even just, speakers that we've heard together, mm-hmm. it's usually the stories. I mean, you kind of remember what their topic was, but usually right. it's that story that you're like,
yeah.
oh my gosh, and it just, touches you in the heart. And I mm-hmm. think that's really, like you said, I think you really need to discover who you are. And for one thing, Mandy and I weren't comfortable even really being speakers or coaches until we could say what our story really
yes,
is.
Yes, because when you're in the midst of going through something really hard in your life, mm-hmm. it's difficult to talk about. In fact, right. yesterday I was with a new friend who used to be a news anchor here in Bismarck.
Right.
And we were just sharing some different stuff, and we found out that we were both dog lovers.
Okay.
And so I started to share with her the story of our apartment fire, but I went deeper into it. I usually don't share the story of how, like what I prayed the morning of the fire.
Right.
And I usually don't share the story of what we saw when we first walked into mm-hmm. the apartment after it had burned.
Right.
And the message that God sent us that day. And I did that day. And she was like, I have goosebumps. You have to share the story. And I started wondering, okay, why don't I share it?
Right.
And I think it's partly because that portion of it was something I wasn't willing to face yet. It was still a little too close to home.
Right.
And so you have to get to the point where you're okay sharing the vulnerable details. You don't have to go into detail about everything. You
right.
don't, and you don't have to make people look bad that have hurt you.
Right.
But you have to be okay with sharing that part of the story so that you can get to the punchline, so that you can get to the part that tugs their heartstrings mm-hmm. and gets them to take action.
Right.
And so that's something just really, be okay with going through the process
mm-hmm.
and then be okay with revisiting it afterwards
right.
so that you can share it effectively.
Right. Well, and there's going to be parts of your story that you're going to be comfortable sharing right away. And don't
right.
don't wait until you're completely comfortable sharing your entire life story, because really your story is going to change all the time.
Exactly.
So go ahead and start, but make sure that you are doing the work of, processing mm-hmm. through the emotions that you need to, not sharing the parts of your story that might be too vulnerable for you right now, and just shelving some of those. But that even can be stuff you journal about, so that
yeah.
as you work through it, you mm-hmm. are able to start adding it to whatever,
yes.
speech that you're giving or whatever topic that you're going
to
be
giving. Yeah, because when you journal through that, you go back and flip through
right.
it later and you're like, oh my goodness, I have all this content to work
right,
with.
Right, exactly.
You didn't realize it. So we want to give you a couple resources that the girls on the Big Blue Couch use to keep growing.
Yep.
And the first one is, we highly recommend for life coaching to get your own life coach, first of all.
Right, right. Every coach should have a coach.
Every coach should
with.
Have a coach. We have a lot of them. One of them that has really helped both of us with understanding personalities and communicating mm-hmm. with other people is Danny Johnson.
Right, absolutely.
And that's Dani Johnson.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're looking at getting certified and you're not quite sure where to start, Light University is a great place to look at.
Right, absolutely.
That's where we've been certified.
Right. And I would really recommend, if you're looking into coaching and you don't have maybe a counseling or psychology background or some kind of mm-hmm. degree that would be preparing you mm-hmm. for some of the things you need to know, because it does cross the line every so often.
It does.
You'll have people in your office that you're not exactly sure are ready for coaching and mm-hmm. maybe should be counseling. So make sure you actually look for a good program that can equip you as a coach and also teach you the skills that you need.
Yes.
And, you know, at some point, coaching might get regulated. So I would really mm-hmm. recommend that you do get certified for what you need to do.
And when it comes to like topic specific coaching, Light right. University has a lot of different
they
ones.
They do. And I swear they're coming out with new they ones do. Every 6 months or so.
But also, I'm also certified through the Dr. Sears Wellness Institute right. for health coaching,
right.
which is a specific program that really helps teach parents and family members mm-hmm. and adults as well the steps they can take to start implementing new healthy choices.
Right.
And the programs are already set up, so you don't really have to come up with anything totally on your own
right.
with that program. So that's another option as well. But then we also do a lot of blogging.
We do. And I think that was the thing we first even started with yeah. before we even were like, ooh, let's put ourselves out there as coaches. But blogging is really something that if you're going to be coaching, you really, really, really need to look at blogging. Because for mm-hmm. one thing, it's a great way to start writing your story and getting things together yes. to start thinking of different topics that you can speak on. And one of our absolute favorites, who we still coach with to this day for blogging, is Sandy Krakowski. So it's mm-hmm. SandiKrakowski. And you can find her on Facebook.
Sandy her website Krakowski is arealchange.com.
And we have both been working with her for a couple of years yeah. now. And so she is phenomenal to start with, not only for business, but for blogging. She's also great about bringing faith into what you're
yes.
doing. And so if that's something that you're looking at doing, mm-hmm. She's a great one to start with. Another one that we've really taken a lot of things for as far as building a platform would be Michael Hyatt.
Mm-hmm. His book, Platform, yep. is amazing.
It is. I have mine all earmarked all
me
over
too.
The place. It's
highlighted.
All yep.
yeah. And he does a great job. I got to hear him speak last year at She Speaks.
Right.
Which is a conference that we highly recommend for speakers and writers.
Yep.
It's through Proverbs 31 Ministries. And he just did a fabulous job of letting you know like the steps to not only blog, but also then seamlessly bring that into speaking.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And how to set up your blog, how to set up your website. Yep. I mean, his book is phenomenal. So like Maddie just said, actually, for speaking, one of the things that we recommend you do is actually going to the training called She Speaks. And like she said, it's given by Proverbs 31 Ministries. Mandy has been there. I haven't had a chance yeah. to actually
I'm
go
going
yet.
On year two this year, and I'm going to pitch a book.
I know. It's so exciting.
I just let my secret out into the world. It's really cool because they really take you through the steps of how to set your pricing as a speaker,
right.
how to set up a contract, how to market yourself.
Right.
And you know, other places like Sandy Krakowski and Michael Hyatt, they go through that briefly,
mm-hmm.
but She Speaks just really helped give me that confidence.
Right. It's only for speakers and authors.
Yep.
So it
only
really,
for speakers
that
and
entire
authors.
Conference is just how to do this.
And yes.
So one more tip we want to give you guys, or one more resource, is the podcasting that we do is actually here locally in town in Bismarck. Mm-hmm. And that's Scott Wild, and he owns Wild Inspire. And so he lets us come into his beautiful podcast room.
Yes.
And
but I believe he has clients all over the world.
Right, absolutely.
So it's not just a Bismarck thing. So wildinspire.com, I believe, is what it is.
Right.
I might be wrong, but why don't you share the action steps, and I'll check, and if I'm wrong,
okay.
I'll let them know.
Okay, so it's Scott Wild at Wild Inspire. And so our action steps today is that it takes confidence to be a speaker. It takes confidence to be a writer. It takes confidence to be a life coach. But it also takes confidence to share your story.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to help you with that process. And so we've created a free download for you called 3 Keys to Building Your Confidence. And that is at www.bigbluecouchcoaching.com. And you can go right to our website and sign up for that free download and just start today building building your confidence so that you are able to share your story.
Yes, and it is wildinspire.com
okay.
for podcasting.
Great.
But also, we would love to share, we would love to hear from you. You just said that, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Didn't you? Okay, we'd love to hear from you because this is how multitasking works here at the Big Blue Couch, is I'm on my phone, I'm not paying attention. What day is it? So share your story below. Share what you learned in the comment section on our website for this podcast, because we want to hear from you. And if there's any other questions that we can maybe answer in the future,
right, absolutely,
we want to hear that as well. So we really hope that this helped you today, helped maybe give you some ideas, spark some confidence maybe right. that you don't have to always know what you're doing.
No.
You can learn as you go. And so, and then we also want to thank you just for hanging out with us, because we count it an absolute honor to be able to be here with you every week. So thanks for hanging out with us, girls on the Big Blue Couch. We'll be with you next week again, right here on the Big Blue Couch, where life happens. Bye-bye.